This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Today we're joined by Mike McKinnon. Mike is a CRNA by background, a brilliant person, also the host of a podcast called Anesthesia Deconstructed, which is brilliantly done. Mike, a pleasure to have you on today. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do in your career?
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be on your podcast, an honor, really. In my career, I'm a CRNA and a family nurse practitioner. We own a anesthesia company that's in a rural area, so we're servicing rural hospitals, three hospitals and three surgery centers, small northeastern part of Arizona. I did all my training originally in Canada as a nurse, got my bachelor's in nursing in Canada. Prior to that, I was an EMT, and then I came to the U.S. in 2000 and started doing nursing, flight nursing in the helicopter, which was a blast, and then moved on to anesthesia and then family practice. I integrate into the practice as well, and finally did my doctorate at University of Alabama.
And I guess the great question, Mike, and this has always been a debate, are Canadian CRNAs better than American CRNAs, or would you say about the same?
Well, now that is a really good question, but seeing as how there are no Canadian CRNAs in Canada that exist currently, and only those of us who work in the U.S., I think we're better.
So then the U.S. wins in that. Let me ask you this question. You're in rural healthcare. Rural healthcare is a increasing challenge in the United States, just not enough providers in lots of places. Increasingly, people have to leave the rural communities to get healthcare, at least beyond very primary care. A couple observations on that. What do you see in your practicing and working and running a business in rural America?
You know, rural America is a totally different animal than urban side, as you know. And I've worked in both sides of the practice. And I think one of the biggest things I see is that rural areas basically have limited resources. They're trying to do as much as they can for the populace, but within a reasonable cost and not overextend, because that's where you get yourself into trouble. And I think in our practice, what we see is utilizing providers probably to the fullest scope, everyone at the table doing as much as they can of all types, and trying to do things that are a little bit more inventive, thinking outside the box, you know, saving money where we can by decreasing subsidy costs, decreasing costs of medicine, looking closely at all the stuff that we're doing. And so what I see is that smaller hospitals like ours try to focus as best on things that they can do very well, as opposed to trying to do everything and getting themselves into trouble. That's probably the primary thing that our facility does.
How important is that choice to not try and be all things, but to focus on what you could do well in healthcare in rural America today? How important is that specific choice you just mentioned?
You know, I think it is of utmost importance. If you get into that place where you're trying to do everything for everyone all the time, then what's likely to happen is you'll do a lot of those things poorly and none of them extremely well. And so patients in this time of consumerism and transparency and outcomes and cost really want high quality healthcare close to home, but they don't want you to be doing things that are going to put them or their family members at risk. And so, you know, that then impacts the reputation of the facility and the providers, which can result in patients not having trust in the system where they are. So it becomes probably one of the most important things in a rural area, in my opinion.
You had mentioned practicing to the top of one's license. And that's a bit of a politically charged issue, not that it should be, but it kind of is. But how important is that to dealing with burnout and shortages of healthcare workers, shortages of healthcare professionals, providers, et cetera? How important is that ability to practice at the top of the license?
Well, I think it's huge. And, you know, physicians are an extraordinarily important part of our healthcare system, required, in fact. We need them. We need more of them. But the fact of the matter is we can't expect them to have no lives and live medicine, nor can we ever have enough physicians to provide all types of care everywhere for all people all the time. And so having other providers, advanced practice providers such as CRNAs like myself, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, working to the maximum top of their license, what they're trained to do safely and effectively, is what's going to decrease physician provider burnout and get them in places where they're most needed. We don't necessarily need physicians doing every single thing, but we need physicians doing what they do best. And I think that's the key. I think it really extends the life of someone's career.
And I was talking yesterday to someone who runs a residency program, and in residency programs for physicians, there is still this situation where people are doing 36-hour shifts. And when you talk about burnout, you talk about shortages, any comments on the insanity or sanity of people doing 36-hour shifts? Because it plays into this issue of shortages and challenges and how hard it is to become a physician and so forth.
You know, it is a massive drain on an individual when you start to work that many hours. And it would be folly for any of us to assume that we are as good at 3 a.m. or 2 p.m. the next day after we've been working since 7 a.m. as you were in your first 10 to 12 hours of work. And so, you know, the problem with that is that we're then putting both ourselves at risk, patients at risk, the facility in which you work at risk, all because you're trying probably to some degree altruistically to do your best to get things done, to get patients through and get them taken care of, but you're not at your best. And the reality is we have to take care of ourselves first in order to be the best for the people that we serve. So, you know, 36-hour shifts here, the most we ever do is 24-hour call shifts, but it's not grueling call like it would be in a large tertiary care center. And I think that, you know, we have to go away from that. On the other hand, the question is, who's going to fill the gaps? So when you have that space, we need people to step up and take care of that. And I think that's part of where your previous question exists.
Well, and ultimately to do that, you need to meet more doctors, more CRNAs, more providers, more physician assistants, better leverage them all, import more. I mean, so much of solving Americans' healthcare problems has come over the years from immigrants coming here as nurses, as doctors, in all kinds of positions. And I think partly you need to understand that's part of the solution, and we need to be an attractive place for that. And that's not a political comment. That's just a reality of dealing with shortages. There's so much discussion of negativity in healthcare. There's evolving challenges with access, quality, cost. We've got an aging population. There's 325 million people. And it's just a big issue. It's a big challenge in a labor-intensive world to take care of 325 million people. So there's so much talk about negativity. Tell me something positive in healthcare today that makes you smile, that looks at the system and says, this is terrific. This is going in the right direction. Tell me something good.
So I'll tell you a couple things good. One thing is, on a personal level, you know, in a small town, I see patients that I've taken care of at Walmart, right? And so the hospital is doing an amazing job of doing the things they can do well, and the patients are having good outcomes and not having to travel super far away. This extension of telemedicine and the movement toward AI is super exciting to help providers in all aspects do better for patients. And for me, I'm a bit of a tech geek. So for me, those things are super exciting, and seeing patients do well is exciting. It makes you feel good that you're doing the right thing.
Well, isn't that great? So as you look at healthcare, before I ask you a few more questions about advice for healthcare leaders, how do people reach you and stuff like that, tell me a little bit about your podcast, Anesthesia Deconstructed.
Sure. Anesthesia Deconstructed is something I decided to do as a way to get some information out there about the anesthesia market. I focus on multiple portions of anesthesia, but also healthcare to some degree in general, and how we can do best to extend the future and access at a reasonable cost for our patients. Because ultimately, you know, everyone gets into healthcare generally for the same reason, and that's to take care of people. I mean, it was probably the primary reason I got into healthcare, and most people do. And so what I want is to get information out there that otherwise might not happen, particularly in anesthesia, because, you know, you work in your own room, you do your own cases, you have no idea what's happening in the room next to you. So this is a great way to kind of bring the community together. And that was the entire plan.
And it's a wonderful pleasure. And you're actually a great, great interviewer. Well, let me ask you this question. I had the pleasure of being on your podcast, whatever. Thank you for having me, but I'm not that exciting. Tell me about a couple of the other guests you've had and how you enjoy talking to them.
Sure. We've had a number of guests. We've talked to the American Association of Nurse Practitioner president. She was phenomenal. Very, very interesting to talk to, very animated. Talked to her about the future of healthcare and how she sees everyone work, what that looks like for nurse practitioners, including CRNAs. We talked to the CEO of the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists, Randall Moore. Great, great guy. Very interesting, has a very interesting view of the future of healthcare about CRNAs, but unrelated as well, just where we're headed, similar to the podcast that you were on. And we have the Butterfly IQ people. That's a handheld ultrasound that, I use in my practice. I get to talk to them about how they're generating this new product at a low cost for providers to do more access quicker, get information faster. That was phenomenal. Really interesting people. And that's the kind of stuff I like the most. And probably of the whole group, was the most interesting was a CRNA FMP named Eric Kramer, who does incredible mission trips. He's been in the Congo, taking in an Ebola clinic, taking care of those patients, been in Afghanistan, been in Mexico at a hospital for 5 years, taking care of people otherwise wouldn't have it. I mean, just amazing people to talk to.
Is Eric the one that is from New Mexico? That Eric Kramer, or a different one?
No, a different guy. He lives in Ohio, I believe, and but he's very involved in a large Christian mission group, and so he goes off and does these amazing medical missions.
Yeah, that's just fantastic. Isn't that fascinating? What a great opportunity for you to visit with interesting people and spread the word about how care should be provided and just things that are going on in healthcare. So what a great thing. Advice for healthcare leaders, any sort of core advice for healthcare leaders? You've talked about choosing what you're going to do and doing it great. You've talked about people practicing at the top of their license. What other advice for healthcare leaders do you have?
You know, when I look at leadership as a whole, I think it's summed up really well in John Quincy Adams, former president's quote, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader." And to that end, what healthcare leaders need to do is identify leaders within their own system. You know, leaders and innovators exist throughout a whole system at every level, and we need to do a better job of identifying, cultivating, and empowering them. Because currently, I think our focus has always been, if you're not a revenue generator, or you don't have the right initials, your input might not be looked for. And we're losing opportunity for better efficiency at every level, cost savings, buy-in, and outcomes for patients. So I've always tried to practice, ask everyone, because everyone has a really good idea, just they haven't been asked yet. And so for healthcare leaders, that's what they do need to do. Think outside the box, because the most dangerous phrase in our language is, because that's the way we've always done things. And we need to avoid that. And so that's what I would tell healthcare leaders today is look for outside the box things, look within your system. There are people there that will be great resources at every level to help change things and make them better for patients and the system itself.
No, and I love that. It's think outside the box. It's inspire others. It's look for ideas. It's talk to people. It's really a handful of different thoughts that lead your leadership to be fully engaged. And that's a large part of the battle. Finally, Michael, how do people reach you? How do they sign up for your podcast? How do they visit with you further? I find you and what you do to just be a pleasure and refreshing and brilliant and nice and all those things. How do people reach you and learn more about your podcast and about you?
Well, thank you, Scott. And I love talking with you as well. It's been a blast. And our previous podcast was great. And they can get a hold of my podcast anywhere that they get their podcasts on anesthesia. Just search for Anesthesia Deconstructed. To get a hold of me directly on LinkedIn, I'm there under Michael McKinnon. But also an easy way is email. It's mike@anesthesia-deconstructed.com. Those ways will all get a hold of me pretty quickly.
That's fantastic. Michael, thank you again for joining us today. We'd love to have you on again. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. I love being here and I love to talk to you again. Thanks, Scott.